Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. I am your host, Kurt Skelly, and I'm here again with my dear friend, John Edmonds, and we have been enjoying, I don't know if anyone else is listening or if anyone else is enjoying it, but John, you and I have been enjoying talking about the Lord.
We're having a great time, Pastor, for sure.
So in Philippians chapter 2, in verses 12 and 13, we learn that there is a balance between God's sovereignty and man's free will. And the Apostle Paul balanced it perfectly. Obviously, the Holy Spirit is using him to say, yeah, God does that work. God does the work in us, but that does not absolve us of the responsibility to act upon what God is doing. And so there's human effort, there's human will, but God is the one that's working on that will and energizing that effort. So there's a great balance there, isn't there?
Yeah, there certainly is. God calls us for a purpose, and we are to follow God's purpose for our life. And the reality is that if we do not follow what God's will is for our life, there are always difficulties. And so the best life we can live is the life that is surrendered to God to follow Him and allow Him to do in us that which we cannot do.
So far in chapter 2, we've talked about this argument of, hey, has God been good to you? Is there comfort and love? Is there consolation in Christ? The answer is yes, 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 yes. Well, then live that love, the Christ love, in view of other people. Put them ahead of yourself, love them, serve them. After all, is that not what Christ did by coming from heaven and taking on the form of a servant, being made in the fashion of a man and all of that? And that's why God exalted him. And so there can be seasonal humiliation, but God's watching, God's judging, God knows, and eventually there's going to be vindication and exaltation. So all of this is a great example of Christ himself, but it's also a validation of what Paul is going through and an encouragement to these Philippian believers.
And I think even in Hebrews, how the author of Hebrews encourages them that God is not unrighteous to forget their work and labor of love.
Good point. Yeah, so all throughout Scripture, this is thematic. And then earlier in the chapter, the Lord also helped us to understand that we're not to do anything through strife or vainglory. A couple episodes ago, we talked about that. But today, another verse, very, very akin to that, where it says in verse 14, do all things. So there again, it's the superlative. Let nothing be done through strife. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. And we're going to see the reason why next verse. But talk to me about those two words, murmurings and disputings.
Yeah, I think of murmurings, people sometimes are going on just almost talking under their breath. They're just upset, and they may not even be really vocal about it, but they sure don't have a good attitude, and they're just walking around with a terrible spirit. And sometimes people break out into having dispute. You have arguments, quarrels with people because they're walking in the flesh and not walking in the spirit.
Yeah. Murmurings to me is the passive aggressive. Disputings to me is the aggressive. And you deal with both. But and I don't know which one's more dangerous. I'd rather deal with disputings. Just put it out there. Let's talk about it. Let's argue. It's not right, but I'm just saying at least I know I can see the enemy. But murmurings is kind of covert, undercover. When I think about murmuring, I think about the people in Acts 6 that were murmuring, the Grecian Jews against the Hebrew Jews. They were murmuring that their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Murmuring, here's a good definition for murmuring. Murmuring, that's when I say things to people that can do nothing about it who already agree with me. That's when I murmur. Murmuring is saying things to people that already agree with me who can do nothing about the problem. It just makes me feel better. And the Bible says, listen, do all things without murmurings and disputings. But then here's the big reason. Here's the big context, because there's something bigger than you being right about your petty preference in your local church. And here it is, verse 15, that, Here's the purpose statement: that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So when we murmur and dispute, we are not obeying our grander purpose, which is to reach the world for Christ. And we're limiting our purpose because the light that we're supposed to have that shines brightly is being dimmed by a carnality that more matches the world than it does the Christ whom we're following.
And what this verse shows us clearly is the world does watch us. The world watches the church. And sadly, if a church has conflict, and we've heard all kinds of extreme scenarios where different colors of carpet halfway down, you know, the auditorium because people couldn't agree. But even if it's not that extreme, the world does watch believers. They watch Christians. And if we are not doing what God wants us to do, if we are murmuring and disputing, we are not going to be blameless and harmless.
So we're to shine as lights in the world. Jesus used that illustration of you cannot hide a city that's set on a hill and talked about you're the light of the world, the salt of the earth, from the standpoint of impacting for truth. You know, John said about Jesus that he was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So it's not that we are individual light sources in and of ourselves, but we're light like the moon is light. It reflects the light of the sun. We reflect the light of the sun, the S-O-N, sun.
And if I'm murmuring and disputing, I am not reflecting that light well at all. I'm giving a terrible reflection.
That's the point. That's the point that we're acting diametric opposition to who Christ is. And I love what it says in verse 16, because the Bible says, as lights in the world, we hold forth the word of life. That's our beacon. That's our torch. We're holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So the Apostle Paul came back to that several times in his ministry where he would say, you know, I don't want my ministry to be empty. He said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you know that our labor was not in vain. He said to the Corinthians, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he said even about, I fear being disapproved of the Lord. He wanted a ministry that was not empty, that was fulfilling. Talk to me about that.
You know, Paul had invested his life into these people and the people at Philippi, as he did for many cities across the world where he traveled at. And Paul wanted what he had done in the lives of these people to come to fruition, to bear fruit, and to come to maturity. Reminds me of the churches at Galatia, how Paul really has some harsh words for them because they were so soon removed from the gospel, the grace of Christ. And Paul says, you're not at all where you need to be. You need to get back in Christ and follow Christ. Paul did have a serious consideration that people were following what they knew to be true, because this was his life. His life was ministry. His life was serving Christ, and he wanted what he had done to matter in people's lives.
And that's the point. The point is he saw vain ministry, empty ministry, as being ministry where people's lives were not impacted. He saw success not in buildings, not in checkbooks, not in popularity or preaching engagements or whatever the rubric is that we use or metric. Now, he saw success as people becoming followers of Jesus. Ye are our epistle. He said, I'm not going to write a fancy letter of recommendation or a fancy resume like these other false apostles have. He said to the Corinthians, no, ye are our epistle, known and read of all men. Ministry is fulfilling when I see it being lived or being lived out in your life.
And Paul is a great example of that, as he, you know, followed what Christ did, how Christ was invested in people around him, even given his life without doubt, a sacrifice that should cause all of us to be constrained by Christ's love and to invest our life in other people.
It's what John said. You know, John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's where my ministry success is measured. It's measured in people getting it and serving God. That means the world to me. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Matter of fact, that's what he reiterates in verse 17, when he says, yea, And if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy. That's enough for me. That's what makes me happy. And rejoice with you all. See our theme there, joy, rejoicing. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. In other words, what brought the Apostle Paul great satisfaction and joy is when they could pour out their lives in service for each other.
Yeah, and Paul uses a great illustration in chapter 2, verse 17 about, you know, a drink offering poured out to God. And he says, if I'm poured out upon the sacrifice, you have the sacrifice of your faith. And if Paul even could be referring to dying here.
Right.
Great. That's fantastic. I'm willing to do whatever's needed.
If my whole life needs to be emptied out, you know, for you to grow and know the Lord and go on for Christ, great. Then my life will have been well served. And that, because is that not what Jesus did? Yes. He gave himself a sacrifice for all. He was offered out as that offering for us.
And what a humbling thought, reminding me what I need to be in my life. It reminds me of 1 John 3:16, a very great verse. You know, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's exactly what Paul's dealing with here, the concept of giving our lives for other people.
So good. So then we move into two people in Paul's life, one with whom he had served for many, many years, another that was more connected to the church itself at Philippi. But both of these men were human examples of what the Apostle Paul had just illustrated in the person of Jesus. And I don't want to jump into them as examples right now, because we'll save that for next episode, maybe even cover each one in an episode. But I do want to talk for a moment just about why the Apostle Paul would use examples like, you know, use human examples. Is there a place for that?
Sure, there is. You know, Paul, we can relate with that. We see them, we see what God's doing in their life, and that shows us, okay, here is day by day. Here's how the rubber meets the road. Here is you see an example of what you can do, and it encourages us. Hey, I know that. I know who that individual is. And seeing what he has done can encourage me. I think of heroes of the faith. When I was a kid, and even now as I have time, I like to look at biographies. When I was a kid, William Borden, his biography is one I read many times till I actually wore the book out. But his life challenged me to live for God faithfully.
So the two themes we've seen already in Philippians 2, a theme of like-mindedness, and then a theme of personal sacrifice, putting others first, being willing to deal with personal humiliation and for the good of others, sacrifice. You'll see both of those separately illustrated in the two people he brings up. Timothy, like-minded, I have no man like-minded, and then Epaphroditus, who is willing to, almost died for the cause of Christ, for the people of God. So great personal examples. And then the Apostle Paul was also not afraid to give negative examples.
Yeah, Paul wanted people to realize, you know, this is important. We're not just playing a game here. This is life and death we're dealing with. And if people are not living for Christ, they're doing detriment to the cause of Christ.
So my admonition, or my encouragement, I guess I should say, to each one of us would be this. Yes, keep your eyes on the Lord. That's basic. That's axiomatic to our Christianity, that we would keep our minds and hearts fixed upon the Lord. But many times God helps us to see Christ through people. So Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I would just say, identify some people in your own life that have a desire to serve God, are maybe a little bit further down the mile marker toward their spiritual maturity than you, and follow them as they follow Christ. And then look at some others that maybe have stepped out of the way for whatever reason, not in a judgmental way. That's the Lord's job, to where there's one lawgiver to save and to destroy. But from the standpoint of wisdom and discernment and just learning. So personal examples do have their place in the Bible. And over the next couple of episodes, I think you're going to see that in a big way. But that's all that we have for today. And so again, just really grateful that you joined us, excited that we're this far along in the book of Philippians, and looking forward to learning a little bit more about what it means to have real joy. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.